Brilliance Audio. Motherland, a Memoir by Paula Ramon. Translated by Julia Sanchez and Jennifer Xu. Performed by Ana Osorio. Author's note. This is my story and that of my family as I remember it. It is my personal effort to reconstruct painful episodes that scarred my life. Some words are extracted from real emails or messages, and some names have been changed for privacy reasons. Most of the references to Venezuela's socio-political turmoil have been verified using news articles and documents, but some of the more contemporary references are common knowledge. There are things that only those of us who have been through them truly know. Introduction. A Path of No Return. I grew up in a place where rules were made to be broken. My country took pride in its main social asset, criollo clever, or the belief that we could outsmart everyone else. In a system that functioned according to long-established social codes, we quickly learned that when a public employee claimed something was difficult, what they wanted was a bribe, and that getting anything done required a friend, or a friend of a friend, to call in a favor. I was raised to play the game, but even though my mother taught me to duck and weave, eventually, Venezuela brought me to my knees. In the 1970s, my hometown, Maracaibo, and its enormous oil reserves were a symbol of the future in what was then the most prosperous country in the Caribbean. It was a vibrant era for the country owing to the explosion in the price of oil, which spilled ceaselessly from our soil. In a continent that staggered between soldiers, saviors, and economic crises, Venezuela was a model for democracy. It was in those years of euphoria that my parents met in Maracaibo. Neither of them was from there, but after a chance encounter, they embraced that place, hot as an ember, and worked to put down roots together. My parents knew the bitterness of exile, and I grew up hearing their stories. Papa had survived 2 wars and a concentration camp. Mama had rebuilt her life hundreds of kilometers away from her hometown after a childhood of poverty. Now that I think about it, maybe that's why ever since I was little, I felt the need to hold on to things, to belong somewhere. My parents built their life together against the backdrop of Venezuela's wild ups and downs, but their financial approaches could not have been more different. In the affluent years, Papa lived in hotels, wore expensive suits, and dined in restaurants. Meanwhile, Mama, who didn't even open the menu when my father took her out because she always ordered the cheapest dish, arroz a la cubana, saved for the future. That's why, after the Petroleum Party gave way to the lean years and the hangover began for a country whose future was no longer promising, my father had nothing, and my mother owned the house where they would raise their family, and where I was born in 1981. When I was a child, Mama drew on her creativity and thriftiness as the country's economic and social indicators deteriorated. Because of her resilience and determination, and my father's willingness to work ever harder without complaint, even as he grew older in those years of social unrest, violence, inflation, and depreciation, my brothers and I felt we lacked for nothing. I had been born into and raised in a crisis, but my experience of crisis was softened by my parents' hard work, and I believed things couldn't get worse, that it was only up from there. Starting when I was small, my mother instilled in me the idea that education was the only way up the social ladder. That attitude wasn't a common one in a country grounded in magic formulas. Besides oil, the winning ticket for many Venezuelan parents came out of baseball or beauty contests.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?